not entertain!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 225.
And it's Tuesday, March 13th, 2018.
Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss a new restaurant that opened up. Layton's going to share some home working tips for me.
Home working?
Yeah.
Are you back in school, Ruben?
It's a new term. It's for adults to work on their homes.
That's true.
And we've got some St. Patty's Day content.
Ooh, I didn't know it was St. Patty's Day.
No, we don't.
Is it St. Patty's Day?
It's coming up, though.
The 17th.
Yeah. It's coming up.
And we do have some feedback, too, which we'll get to a little bit later. So let's start with probably the most exciting news here in the area. New breakfast restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Napanee.
C&C. And just for the record, it's not... The letters in the name of the restaurant is not C, letter C, letter N, letter C. It is letter C and then an ampersand and then another C.
C mm-hmm. and C.
C and C.
Not C and C. C and C.
Correct. So now we need to go around this table and all give our opinions of what we think the C's stand for.
Okay.
I heard what they are, well, so I should probably shouldn't.
I don't know what they are.
Oh.
All right. I think it's for someone's name. Probably not very creative, pretty generic. I'm going to go with Christopher and Crystal.
I'm going to go with, like, it used to be the Corner Cafe. That's good. That was the old restaurant. Mm-hmm. That was, what, two restaurants ago?
That was two restaurants ago.
See, it was Corner Cafe, and then Athens.
Yeah.
And now it's C&C.
Now it's C&C.
So I'm going to go with, like, Corner and Coffee.
Hmm.
As the abbreviations. What does it actually
mean,
Jeff?
Well, Ruben is really close, and it's named after the owner's two sons, although I cannot for the life of me remember what the names are.
Carrie and Carmen.
I'm looking at their about page here on Facebook, and I don't see it.
Yeah, the place, I will say I'm really impressed with the interior of the restaurant. I mean, that place, it's kind of like an oddly shaped restaurant, and so it would be really hard to do something creative with the space just because it's so old and odd, and the restaurants in it before, it just looked dumpy inside and all that, but they really did a good job at redoing the interior.
The C, one of them could stand for classy because it looks like a classy joint.
It's pretty sweet looking.
As classy as breakfast can get.
It's nicely lit. They got wood everywhere. Yeah.
Wood everywhere, Ruben. It's, dare I say, hipster.
It is almost
hipster.
It's
got a touch of hipster.
It does.
In the decor.
I haven't partook of anything from there yet.
I have.
How was the food?
The food... I got a meat omelet,
mm-hmm.
and it was...
What meats were included?
I think, like, sausage and ham. I think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It wasn't, like, a massive omelet. These are not ginormous portions.
Mm-hmm.
And just the omelet... how much do you think an omelet should cost?
Well, I already know that it's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
But... you're saying a small-ish omelet should probably be about $8.50, $9.
It was $11.
Mm.
And I got a water. Okay, like so, I literally only paid.
Did anything
for
come
the
with
omelet.
The omelet? Hash browns.
Oh yeah, hash browns did come with it.
But those are basically free.
Correct. It's like French fries. Yeah. It's like an auto include.
Auto include.
Flavor though? What about that?
It tasted pretty good. The omelet was maybe a little bit bland. It wasn't very well seasoned.
You know what? I'm going to say the same thing about what I got. I got the, what was it? The pork belly hash, which is basically...
That does sound hipster.
Chunks of potato mixed with bits of pork belly, and then it had eggs on top. and came with toast. And I was pretty impressed. Good quality food, but I will agree, yeah, slightly small good. on the portions, and maybe just a little bit on the overpriced side, but not too much. I mean, the space felt right for the price.
Okay.
The coffee was a little bit on the pricey side too, I think. But then
yeah,
again,
it's like $3 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. But the pot of coffee, you can get a pot of coffee for up to 4 people, and that's quite a bit cheaper.
Oh, okay.
And then just put a pot on your table, so that's kind of nice.
Okay.
They have a buffet there, and I went over and looked at it with hopes that I might be interested in it. I'm generally not a buffet kind of guy, so I'll usually order stuff even if there is a buffet. But this was an exceptionally small buffet and didn't really look that inviting even as buffets go. But I have no idea as to the quality of the food at the buffet.
Well, it's brand new, so hopefully they'll make a few needed changes. It wouldn't, I mean, these changes...
Like lowering the prices?
Well, or just making bigger helpings.
Oh, okay.
And a more flavorful food.
Mm-hmm. The flavor definitely could be jazzed up a little bit with something unique to them.
It was good quality food. It was good quality.
Yes,
it just
for
wasn't
sure.
Like... a party in your mouth.
Yeah, and I wouldn't complain that I was hungry afterwards. I actually didn't even eat all my food. It's like, you know, the portions are fine, but I was a little bit disappointed that they don't have Eggs Benedict. And in my mind, every good breakfast place has Eggs Benedict.
It has to.
So I was a little disappointed at that. But
all right, so there you have it. If you're in the area, Napanee area, you might want to check it out. I know it was super busy on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Their grand opening.
It's definitely worth a check out, and I would say it's one of the better places for breakfast in the area.
Okay. We had a little bit of feedback. Jeanette, listener, faithful listener of the podcast, said that you guys should have helped me. You should have added a tip on pronouncing PWI. I didn't think about it at the moment, but I guess I stuttered over it a little bit.
Oh.
PWI. It's yeah.
So, there was a little bit of feedback. And in my defense, I was sick Tuesday.
He was...
Monday, Tuesday.
He was stumbling over many other words than just PWI.
Yeah.
Like
this actually brings me to a little story that I was going to tell last week, but I forgot. So, we were having revival meetings all of last week, Monday through Sunday night. And I went Tuesday night, and I was tired enough to go to bed after work, but I wanted to stay up until a reasonable hour so that I don't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, unable to sleep the rest of the night. So I was hoping to be home by 9 o'clock, getting out at church around 8:15, and then being home in bed by 9 o'clock was my goal. However, this is not me at all, but I left my phone. I had my phone out during church, and when I left church, I forgot it on the bench.
Ruben.
I didn't realize it until I was about 2.5-3 miles down the road.
Okay.
And I still thought, I realized it soon after I left the church, but I thought it's got to be in here somewhere because I just never forget my phone.
Right.
So by 2.5 miles down the road, I pulled over and I tried to connect my phone manually to my car.
Mm.
And it would not connect. So I knew that the phone, it's not here.
It's not here.
So you're so disappointed in yourself?
For multiple reasons.
Oh, no.
I mean, because I wanted to be home, sleeping. Anyway, so I drive back to church. And then as I park, get into church, I see someone that was sitting in the same row as me. And he says, "Hey, you forgot your phone." I gave it to Theodore. And I had seen Theodore, my brother, passing me on his way home, which was, we passed each other when I was going back to church.
Oh, no.
So I thought, fine. It's on the way home. So get back in my car, cruise another 2.5-3 miles to mom and dad's, pull in there, find Theodore, and he said, "Oh, I gave it to mom and dad, who are still at church." He goes and calls my mom, who does not answer, which is typical.
Yes.
And then calls my father, who does answer, and says, "Hey, Ruben, you guys have Ruben's phone. He wants it. Are you guys leaving soon?" And I knew that getting my mom to leave church even to save someone's life, is not going to happen in a timely manner. So I knew that there's no way
we'll be getting feedback on
there's
that.
No way that she was going to be at home. It was just going to take long. So I drove back down to church.
Mm.
And again.
The second time.
Three more times. No, it was the second time. Well, it was the third time that evening that I was pulling into the church parking lot.
Yeah.
And of course, they hadn't left yet. So I went in and got the phone from my mother. And as I was going back out to my car, I had left my fob inside the car because my car does this weird thing where if I take the fob with me and close the door, it honks twice to remind me that, hey, your car is still running. It's not locked.
And you took the keys.
And I took the keys. Yes. So I'm not in the car. And so I left the fob in there and I just closed the door. And I don't know how, but somehow the door was locked.
Oh no.
Now my door does have keyless entry.
Good.
And I know you the four. I did set it up, and I know the four digits that the combination is, but I don't know in which order, when they start. And I don't know if it's four or six. And I usually end up getting it to work just by going through that combination a couple times. Usually it opens up, but the last time I tried it, I couldn't get it to work. And I had my fob with me, so I just opened it up then. But I couldn't get it to work the last time. So I was getting nervous. Because the other fob was at my house in Elkhart, which is over a half an hour away. So I go through the combination twice, and it didn't open. And I was dejected. And I hit the first number again to start going through it again, and then it unlocked.
How?
Well, it must have been. I know the last number.
That's so weird.
Anyway.
Wow.
I made it home about 20 minutes later than I wanted to. That rigmarole, it only cost me 20 minutes, but it was 20 minutes of sleep.
Which is precious.
Which is very precious.
Precious.
So I forgot to mention it last week. How could I? Last week was revival meetings. Maybe it happened Monday night.
Well,
I still haven't set up the keyless entry on my vehicle. I should do that.
We recorded last week on Wednesday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I can't find the factory code to then, because I need to enter that in order to then put in my own custom code.
Yeah. It's probably
in your manual.
Oh, yeah, it should be in your manual.
Okay.
A sticker on your pamphlet or your case.
Okay.
The dealer could do it too for you, I'm sure.
I'm sure the dealer could after making me pay them $200.
Oh, well, probably.
No, I don't know.
That's all the feedback I had. Any feedback from you guys?
No.
No.
Nope.
No one talked to me this week.
All right. I guess a little update from work. It's going well. It's going better this week now that I'm finally getting the hang of things and I'm not feeling under the weather as much.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, you know, your performance is up a little bit from the previous week, because we all know how that went. Anyways, actually, I do have a little bit of feedback. Midge is still disappointed that we don't have polls.
We did a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago.
Well, it's tough to constantly be coming up with a poll question, unless it's just the same poll every week.
Poll questions.
Did you like this episode? Yes or no?
Poll questions are hard to pull.
Out of our head.
Das is true. Are we going to move on to the next segment of content?
What is the next segment?
I've got a bag. All right.
A bag of tricks?
For some men, it will be. Ruben, guys like us, and I say us as in guys like me, you, as in I'm talking to Ruben and Jeff, we are one of the most
farmers. Oh, well, go ahead.
Technologically prepared men. All right, we know that we need laptops.
Yes.
And we know that we need external hard drives to back up data.
Yes,
all right.
That is correct.
We know that we need backpacks to haul all of our equipment. We know that we need good audio headphones. All right. We know that we need backup batteries. So all that to say, we are technologically prepared men.
Yes,
we are.
For the most part.
I used to carry an array of adapters in my laptop bag in case I would ever need to adapt HDMI to any weird connection that might be anywhere. And they proved so utterly useless to me ever that I finally abandoned them.
Did you, never use them? They never came in handy?
They're still in my closet somewhere.
Well, that's nice.
Anyways.
But
is that the only thing in your closet, Jeff?
There's quite a bit of other stuff in my closet.
One thing I realized when I got married is that though I may be technologically prepared, I am not exactly the most prepared when it comes to hanging things on the wall for my wife to decorate the house. Mm. All right. And so in the past 8 months since I've gotten married, I've acquired a kit, a survival kit, for a young married man who has never had to really deal with hanging things, decorating the house.
You know how much stuff I've hung up on my walls?
How much?
I can think of one thing, and it was a pretty ugly poster of the world. And it fell down, and I let it fall.
All right. Well, this kit will, number one, it'll...
But I expect to have lots of things hanging on the wall.
Yeah, there will be a lot of things. You will be amazed at how many different things women can find on Pinterest to hang on their walls. It's astounding. So we got to get through this list. It's a pretty comprehensive bag of tools that you'll need, Ruben. Number one.
Are these in order of, like, these are probably, is this the first thing that every man should go buy? Or is it just the thing that is maybe the most cool?
The first thing is the coolest. It's the most expensive in this kit.
I don't think you would ever be wise to admit to your wife or significant other that you're buying something because it's cool instead of because it's functional. You always have to use the excuse that this is very functional.
Yeah. And this is. You need to have these. Okay?
You could do it by hand.
No, you can't.
You could.
You could, but it's ridiculous not to.
I agree, it's ridiculous.
To do it by hand. All right. And this is coming from a guy who is hand planing his entire workbench as he builds it. All right? I'm very much a hands-on person, but you need to have a drill, and you need to have an impact. Okay, you have to buy these. Okay, and thankfully there are Chinese companies that make really really cheap versions of these. Very very affordable. So they pretty much take out the excuse like, well, they're too expensive. You can find the cheapest, and they probably won't last you that long. But hey. They're still a start. I bought DeWalt.
Although they tend to, I will say about the cheaper stuff, they tend to last so short and perform so poorly that you end up not using them, even though you have them, just because they're so annoying to use.
But in most cases, if you, like the drill, what are you going to do to drill out a hole? If you can't use your power tool, like, you're not going to try to drill it out by hand.
A bit and brace.
No. Just no. All right, so you get, Ruben, get yourself an impact and a
have
drill.
Have you used your impact much?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially for hanging stuff on the wall. All right, get that. And then, what else do I have in here? Get bits. And I'm talking about not
Cricket
drill
bits.
I'm talking about flathead and Phillip bits. And then if you want to get really fancy, also get the square head bits. All right, that way, whatever is thrown at you around your house, whatever screw is in the way or that was previous there, you can back it out. Yeah, get bits. These are cheap. There's no reason not to have bits. And then also get drill bits. All right, are you taking notes, Ruben? Because you'll need this pretty soon.
I think I have some of these.
Drill bits. This is by no means like the only drill bits that you'll need, but I have a small DeWalt set.
Is it important to use wood drill bits for wood and steel drill bits for steel?
Well, yes, but
or are there some hybrid bits that can do both?
Are there hybrid?
I think either bit could do both, but the steel drill bit wouldn't drill very quickly into wood, and the wood drill bit would dull very quickly when drilling steel.
Exactly. And I don't know of what you'll be drilling in your house to hang stuff on. I don't know of any steel walls that you have.
You might be surprised.
I would go for the wood.
Yeah, bits. Get wood bits. And your first set, this set has gotten me through all of my hanging needs, from a 16th bit all the way up to a 1/4-inch bit.
It looks like the quarter and
the 7/32.
Those seem to be pretty heavily used.
They are. They're the most used ones. All right, so you need those, okay?
Okay.
Next, once you've drilled your hole, you need to get drywall screws. All right, these are the little plastic that little inserts after you drill.
Are those really necessary, you think?
I always use them, especially for shelving. Shelving, especially, yeah. It is important to use these.
I've already just tapped a small nail straight into drywall, only for hanging pictures, but it seems very precarious.
It is very precarious. I always use a drywall screw. It has yet to let a picture down. Or a shelf. I especially recommend it for shelving. Because shelving, it takes a lot of weight. And so this drywall screw, you insert it into the hole that you've already drilled. And then this will, it sort of fans out and hugs the back of the drywall and spreads out its grip. Once you insert the screw.
It pushes it bigger.
And you're calling it a drywall screw, but it's called a ribbed plastic anchor.
Okay, fine.
Drywall anchor.
Anchor.
I've heard that term before, too.
Actually, technically, a drywall screw is one of those little black
Phillips screws that you actually use for hanging drywall.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, get a plastic drywall anchor so that your pictures don't fall, Ruben. All right, next. Oh my word, this is so important. A tape measure.
Yeah, I've got a tape measure at home, but it's too big. Is it
a 35-footer?
Yes.
Yeah, that is too big. You're exactly right. 16-footer. These are awesome.
The 16s are the best.
The 16s are the best. 12 is too small.
Yeah, what are you measuring, though, that would be more than 12 feet?
The size of a room.
Okay.
You need to, 12 is just too small, plus it just doesn't hug your hand. And it seems so dinky that you can't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Okay. A 16-footer, feel that.
You can take it seriously.
You can take it seriously, but it's not overbearing. You know?
And I feel you could hit someone over the head with this, and it would do some damage.
Yeah.
12-footer, probably not.
I found a 10-footer in my car the other day.
And you were disappointed in
yourself. And I cared so little for it that I just abandoned it on the concrete beside my car. That's because awesome. I didn't want it in my car, but I didn't really care about it enough to even move it into the house.
Exactly.
And then my sister found it and picked it up.
If it would have been a 16-footer, you would have put it back into your car. Taken it into the house.
Yeah.
But you would have nurtured it. 16-foot Stanley tape measure. Get that. Okay. A hammer. I didn't have one of these for a long time. This is probably one of the last tools I bought. And let me tell you, it is not fun pounding those anchors, those drywall anchors into the wall with a hardcover book. It is not fun. All right? And it's really difficult, and plus it damages your books, and you look ridiculous. All right? Be a man. Get a hammer. It doesn't have to be a heavy-duty carpenter. I think this would be a carpenter's hammer.
It looks like a standard hammer to me.
Yeah. I don't know. There is something special. You can identify the way a hammer, the purpose of a hammer, by its hook, normally. If it goes straight across, I think that means something. If it's more of a claw hammer, it means something else. I don't know what it all means.
But you have a claw.
I have a clawed hammer.
Which is, that's how the normal hammers typically look.
Correct. But because I lost this for like a couple of weeks, I bought another hammer that's a little bit of a different style. But hammers, very, very handy. Handy hammer. What else? What else you got in here? Oh, okay, I don't have it with me, but get yourself a Leatherman. Leathermans are so handy. They have a knife. It's a needle-nose pliers. It's your little screwdrivers in case for some stupid reason you don't want to use your impact to drive in a screw or drive out a screw. Reverse a screw.
Back out a screw.
Back out a screw. Yeah, get yourself a Leatherman. And those, they can be expensive, but...
What? You said you don't have your Leatherman with you?
I don't have my Leatherman with me.
I have yet to find a Leatherman that I really like.
A Leatherman is such a prestigious tool.
It is.
That you've... Yeah, I agree. You need to find one that actually suits you. Rather than just, you know, going to Ace and buying a hammer, you need to find a Leatherman that matches your personality.
Yeah,
exactly. But for you, you don't have to get anything too beefy, but you can get like a base model that's like $25 and you'd be good to go.
I would probably
use it. I know that because most, that's what I've gotten away
I would
with.
Use it most as a pliers or
exactly, I do too.
To grab stuff.
Absolutely. This is optional, but actually I wouldn't say you need this because I only use this in my shop, but I did get an electrical
wire stripper,
yeah, which also has a little bit of pliers on the very tip. Yeah. You can use it to grab things as well. I'm not going to talk about that though. The last thing and really important is a pencil. Don't mark up your walls with a pen. All right, have a pencil. And a pencil that you can get like elongated pencils that are like wider. Those are like carpenter's pencils. Don't get those. Get a normal like what
something you used at school.
A number two pencil. Something you used at school, exactly. And make sure that it can fit in your ear.
Okay. Because if it's too thick, it wouldn't fit.
Exactly.
In your ear.
You want it to be able to fit in your ear so that you can put your you can be up on your ladder. Which, by the way, should be in your kit, but I can't fit it in this bag. But you'll need a ladder, okay? At least a two-step, not a 4 foot. 4 foot's actually perfect. 4 foot will get you places. That. No, so let's say you're measuring from the side of a wall up on your ladder, and then like, oh, so you're using like your one hand to hold the tape measure, you're using your other hand to kind of like...
Stabilize the tape
so that it reaches all the way over to the wall. And then, what do you know? You need to make a mark. What do you do, Ruben?
You still can't do it because all your hands are being used.
You're exactly right.
You stare at the pattern of the paint on the wall. And then you try to...
Forming a
then you drop the
mark.
Tape measure and try to guess where it was supposed to go. And then you measure it and find out that it was actually a quarter inch off. But then you can put it in the right spot.
And then
spot.
You can move it again.
Because you have a reference point.
No.
What do you do?
What you do is, I think this how it's supposed to be done, is that you push your tape measure up against the wall, and then I think you're supposed to like put your tape measure exactly where you by the edge of your line.
Okay.
And then let the tape retract. But you're kind of like you've planted the tape measure along the wall.
But you're using your fingers around the tape measure to press against the wall.
Exactly.
And hold the spot.
Exactly. And then also make sure that tape measure, as you're letting it retract, make sure that it's scratching up your wall real good. No, I don't know. And then once like it's retracted enough that you don't need to support the flopping tape with your hand, with your one free hand that's not holding the tape, then you can reach up, take the pencil out of your ear and then make a little mark by the edge of your tape measure where you put your line. I think that's supposed how it's supposed
that,
to
that,
work.
That seems actually
I feel
really
like
smart.
It should work. But
it would work.
There's very few times that'll actually happen. Usually your tape, your 16-footer will be stiff enough. Like you can fan out a good, 5 feet?
Probably 6 or 7.
I feel like
5 feet.
I feel like the best option would be With the hand that is holding the tape, the most of the body of the tape,
right,
heavy end, use your finger, move it around to right where the edge, where the mark's supposed to go.
Sure.
And then drop everything.
Drop the tape.
Drop the tape.
The tape measure and the flopping
pencil,
tape.
Yeah, keep the pencil in your ear. And then your finger won't move because there won't be any chance that with retracting the tape, even though you're being careful, you know, you can still move it just a little bit. That way everything stays perfectly in place, and then you can take pencil out of your ear and mark it with your free hand.
Do that.
You might have to replace your tape.
You might have to repair your wall.
Or the floor.
Oh, word. One last thing I didn't talk about. I already got this out of the bag, but is a level. This is what makes... This is what adds sort of craftsmanship and just... precision to your hanging, okay, is a little torpedo level.
Why is it called torpedo? Is that the brand?
No, it's just a torpedo means it's small.
It looks like it's shaped like a torpedo, kind of.
That's true as well.
I don't know.
Jeff, I don't know.
And preferably get one
torpedo shaped.
Well, from the top, the view from the top of it.
What kind of battleship games did you play?
Torpedo is kind of like got a tapered front end and then a tapered rear end.
Yeah, with a huge long fan at the one end. Propeller.
Well, I don't think you would want it propelling itself along the wall.
Well, I know. I agree.
Anyways, get yourself a level. Because this is what sets you apart from other men.
Yeah.
All right? This was what makes people that come over to your house who are OCD, it makes so that they don't have convulsions. Mm. Do them a favor.
Very much unlike this poster on our wall. Yeah, it looks pretty level,
straight.
But the one corner is drooping down.
It's ever so slightly not level.
We did line it up pretty good.
It's not too bad for...
it's lined up pretty good with the stripes. Hand. I think the stripes are what's off level. And aligning it with the stripes was the right choice.
Yeah.
Correct. Get yourself a level. Not that expensive.
On that note, keep in mind, some walls in houses are not plumb or level. Like the edge of the wall, you know, if it stops somewhere, it could be totally off.
Pretty much every wall in my house, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Plaster is the worst.
I'm pretty sure the wall in my room is in the corner of the basement, but the corner that it's in, the actual corner of the concrete wall that forms the walls of the basement are not 90 degrees to each other. The walls are not 90 degrees to each other. It's actually slightly... bigger than 90 degrees in the corner.
Like 91, 92.
Yeah. And so also from one side of my room to the other, the width of my room varies 3 inches.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, all of this entire kit.
Yeah.
Everything that is in this kit.
Do you have to make a special trip like to Mishawaka or some big city to go buy it?
You could. You could waste a lot of time going to a hardware or going to a big box home improvement store.
Well, what other options are there?
There's only one other option.
What is that?
If you don't want to waste that time, you could just open up your phone or your computer, go to FrenchPressPodcast.com, click the Amazon link.
You smash that link. Smash it hard.
You smash it. And then you will have access to all of these tools that you need in order to be an insanely good husband.
You can actually buy a new mouse while you're at it since you smashed the link so hard that your mouse broke on your computer.
Amazon might even have some suggestions for you, some other tools you should possibly buy as well.
Don't listen to those. Get DeWalt.
Well, I'm sitting on top of everything you suggested.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Thank you, Layton, for those home improvement tips.
You're welcome.
Tool tips.
Tool tips.
Tool tips.
That's
a really nerdy term there.
For my mic.
Yeah, Layton's mic stand is squeaky.
Ruben, what is a tool tip even?
Those things on Microsoft Word, that bubble that comes up.
Yeah, that's
right. Wait, I thought that was Clippy.
Well, Clippy was the character. I'm pretty sure
Clippy presented the tool tips.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Could be wrong.
Clippy is dead.
And now let us listen to a short representation, a short presentation by Clippy of a tooltip.
Yeah, thank you for that, Layton. Jeff, did you have anything you want to talk about today?
You know, I actually don't. And yes,
it is. A tooltip is a message that appears when a cursor is positioned over an icon.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a hyperlink.
So they still have them.
I guess a tooltip would also, yeah, any link you
hover over. It's like when you hover over something and it like pops up text saying what it is or what it does. Yeah. I don't have any content. And I will say I did forget coffee today. Yeah. But I was planning on scrounging around up in the kitchen, but thanks to Ruben and Layton, we just have no coffee review because they just wanted to get this podcast over with.
Well, speaking of home improvements,
we were eager.
I've got to go do some home, or not today actually, but I've got to go take some food to my fiance who is doing some home improvements. Mm.
Mm-hmm. What kind of home improvements?
Painting.
Excuse me.
So, it might be a little bit short this week, but rest assured,
is that the first time that we've had a burp on the pod? I think it was the first time.
Oh, I'm sure there's been some more quiet ones.
I'm sure. But none so noticeable.
No,
never.
None so bold.
Kids, don't do that. That's gross. Okay, especially at the supper table. All right,
especially when you're listening to podcasts.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that.
Thank you guys for listening, Jeff. Because Layton did all the heavy lifting and you were pretty much a lightweight today.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Ooh. I am not prepared for this.
Do you have any points? Just go
ahead. I have. Make sure you're prepared for being a husband.
That's right.
In that having a bag of tools.
That's a good point. That is
a good point, Jeff. That's good.
That's more than a point. That's a moral.
The moral of the story is
the moral of this podcast.
Listen to the French press to improve your life.
Oh, I like that. My goodness, you're just a wellspring. One of my points is that there's overpriced food at CNC.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could draw a moral from that, and that is maybe don't eat there. Or
it's less of a moral as a life lesson, I think. Mm.
Sure.
I have faith that they will improve.
I do too. Yeah, yeah, they've just started.
They've done so well with Hunters that I have faith that they improve.
Another point is all of us are technologically prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I'm saying that's a really, really complicated way of saying we're all nerds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Well, it's the nerd way to say it.
Yeah, it is.
You are full of content today.
I am.
And was that all your points?
Yeah. That was the final point?
Oh, man.
What is our word of the week?
I think word of the week is prepared.